good. This morning, my assignment to you is called Chain Reaction. And our scripture will be, our main text will be 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Beginning with verse 1, please follow along with me. Now, there was a certain man in Ramathaim Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim. His name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph. That would make a nice hard rock metal band name. An Ephraimite. Ephraimite, so he's from the tribe of Ephraim. He's really a Levite. He's living in the area of that Ephraim had as a tribe. He had two wives. So the story's getting good already. Okay. Before there was sister wives on TV, here it was. Two wives. The name of one was Hannah. Everybody say Hannah. So her name is a prophecy of her destiny. Favor and grace. Her name means grace, favor. Grace, favor. The name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. I just want to stop there just for a moment. In the names of God, sometimes there is a little bit of a losing in English, the depth of meaning in Hebrew or Greek. When this word, Yahweh Shabaoth, is Lord of hosts, and it means Lord of the armies of heaven. So it means Lord of the army. So it's a name was significant just in the telling of the name, there's a releasing of authority. So here's the name. It's the God who has big, bad angel armies. And he's the master of all of it. So it's the Lord who can conquer injustice, repair loss. The one who can redeem, the Lord who can save. So it's a massively powerful name, the Lord of hosts. And he's worshiping him. You worship a God who is so big and so powerful. In fact, this time in history is called in the Bible the day of the Lord, not the day of the Antichrist, not the day of the beast, not the day of the nations. It's called the day of the Lord. When God himself says, I will step onto the stage of human history with such authority that I will have my way in the last days. So you understand something. Your God's large and in charge, and he's not afraid of anything that's going on in this world around us. So he's worshiping the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And he had two sons, and the two sons of Eli, functioning as priests, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, to her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion. So I want you to underline that, to engage with that. Just say with me, double portion. So a double portion when it comes to the firstborn son in a family, but it speaks in a broader sense of a greater expression of grace and favor. So God just doing something special for someone. A double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed their womb. Now that phrase, the Lord had closed their womb, just represents something that hasn't happened, giving God ultimately the sovereign, acknowledging the sovereignty of God for something that did or did not happen. In the New Testament, we have more clarity about why some things do and do not happen, but here she hasn't had a child that she's longed for. Her rival provoked her severely and made her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. Notice a couple of little brief points. Some people use the platform of their influence, breakthrough, and success as a weapon to hurt their perceived enemies. So have you ever watched a person that, you know, you didn't really know was in them until they got some power, some prestige, some authority, then they turned into a little monster? And If your dream is to use your platform to punish your enemies, you're not ready for God to fulfill your dream. So God doesn't give you influence so that you can punish people you're upset with. He gives you influence to expand his kingdom, to represent Christ, and to do his will. So she's using Penina. Now, the other thing is this. God watches us. So, and this is an important thing. Proverbs says, be careful that you don't rejoice over your enemy when God's punishing them, lest God stop it because your attitude's so wrong. God watches the way we treat people when we're up and they're down. You can really tell what's in a person when they have a breakthrough, the way they behave. So I had a person have a breakthrough that's kind of in my world, and all of a sudden he's, you know, he's sending out threatening letters and blah, 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 blah. He's acting like that, that the Lord gave him a breakthrough to vindicate him personally, so he's just going to use it. And what happened? He lost his breakthrough. So we have to be careful both. So Hannah is enduring the personal devastation of unfulfilled destiny, and while she's going through that, she's being provoked by someone who's picking on her just because she doesn't like her. Now, there are dimensions, there are dynamics. Of course, Hannah was probably the first wife. The second wife came because Hannah couldn't have kids. That was a practice, howbeit, you know, unbiblical. It was a practice in ancient times. But Elkanah made no hiding. He did not hide the fact that his first affection was with Hannah. So all that's happening, and interesting things happen. Okay, so let's go on. Verse 7, so it was year by year they went to the house of the Lord that Penina provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. So she's under this amazing intensity. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Now, this is a massively important point. When you have destiny inside of you that's not fulfilled, no relational success, no human being can step into that void and make you feel better. So understand sometimes what you're missing is not a better this or better that. You're missing fulfilling the thing that's inside of you, giving birth to that destiny. By the promise of God, God wants it to happen for you. And if you'll give God the chance and not quit before he's done, you'll have that thing. God wouldn't give you a promise unless he wanted to fulfill it in your life. Okay, so she's going through amazing things. And she's misunderstood. Now, Elkanah is not a bad man. He cannot understand what she's going through. Don't get upset when people misunderstand your actions or motives. Shake it off. Come on, tell someone, shake it off. Well, you know, I went there, Pastor, you know, prayed the wrong prayer. I'm sorry. The Holy Ghost will help you. Okay? So don't get upset because someone assumed something was untrue. Then it happened. Hannah, verse 9, arose after they finished eating and drinking. Shiloh, Eli the priest, was sitting at the seat of the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. So Eli now is in the diminishing. His life is not ending well. He was a good guy, but ended up kind of losing his passion, pulling back and compromising. His sons are outrageously bad guys. But she comes to the house of God. And verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. So make sure you turn to heaven to release your frustration. Because that frustration you feel is destiny calling you to fulfill promise. And when you pour out your soul to God, say, God, I can't live without this happening. God, I pour out all my pain and all, just let it all out to God. Prayer is such a remedy for both anxiety, for stress, for pressure, for sadness, but it's also the way, the pathway to our fulfilled promise. Don't pray your problem, pray your promise, and let God do great things in your life, okay? So she prays to the Lord, and she made a vow. Everybody say vow. Oh, Lord of hosts, there she is. Mighty God of Israel, Lord of the armies of heaven. If you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. No razor will come on his head. Someone say bingo. See, when you give back to God what he's not even yet given to you, God will release what you want. See, what God wants is ownership. And once the ownership question's over, he'll give you the breakthrough. So God was waiting for Hannah to say, God, if you give me a son, he's yours. God, if you give me a business, it's yours. God, if you give me a marriage, it's yours. God, if you give me that breakthrough, it's yours. God, if you give me a church, it's yours. God, whatever it is, when you give it to God before he even gives it to you, God can't wait to pour it into your life. So this is important because God doesn't want to wrestle with your whole life about taking something back that was supposed to be his in the first place. Okay, so she says, Lord, if you do this, I will. She's bargaining with God. And it's a good thing. And he would be a Nazirite. No razor upon his head, no wine in his lips. Okay, it happened as she continued praying before the Lord. Eli washed her mouth, and Hannah spoke in her heart. Her lips moved, but no voice was heard. So she's praying, and it's such a deep travail that she can't even give a vocal sound to it. It's just, her lips are moving. Nothing's coming out. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. And Hannah said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I'm not drunk. I haven't drunken wine or intoxicating drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaining and grief I poured out, I've spoken until now. Now, Eli says to her, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition, which you've asked of him. So this is awesome. When you're really a destiny double portion person, people are going to misunderstand you. They're going to misinterpret your actions. Come on, if you got family, they're like, how many times a week do you go to church? You're going back Sunday night? You're going Wednesday night? What happened to Christmas and Easter? What happened to the normal routine of religious? And people will misunderstand you. But listen to me. If you can keep your heart right, God will use people whose hearts aren't right to help you get from God what he's promised you. See, Eli is not really right, but God used him anyways. Don't worry about imperfect people being between you and your destiny. God knows how to touch them so they release your promise and purpose, okay? It's amazing who God can use to bless you. Yeah, God likes doing that. So Eli said, go in peace, God give you. And she said, verse 18, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. And this is important. Her name means favor. So she said, I want to be what God called me to be. Come on. I want to be more than a conqueror. I want to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I want to be an ambassador for Christ. I want to be a history maker and world shaker. I want to be who God, I want to live out by experience what God has poured in by revelation. I want favor. Yes, it's an incredible thing because God will keep telling you who you are so eventually you can live who you are in this world. So she says, give me favor. So she went and ate. She was no longer sad. They rose up early in the morning, worshiped the Lord, the whole family returned to the house in Ramah. Elkanah knew Hannah, wink, wink. The Lord remembered her. It came to pass in the process of time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, called his name Samuel, heard of God, saying, because I've asked for him from the Lord. So she got what she asked for. She got, okay, first point, you're a double portion end time, Holy Ghost filled, anointed child of God. You're a double portion Christian. We are living in the greatest revelation of God's grace and favor and love in all of church history. There's never been a moment like this. There's more Christians than all of Christian history combined, but there's more revelation. So you're living in the outpouring of revelation that is more than the greatest theologians or the greatest church leaders had for hundreds of years. So everything in the Word is coming alive in this end time generation. Amen. Everything Christ died to give us at the cross is coming into focus. We're understanding who we are in Christ Jesus. We're living in the unmerited favor of God. We understand that grace is Jesus plus nothing. We understand what Christ has done for us. We understand that God's given us the power of favor, that I don't have favor because I'm so good. I have favor because He's so good. That God doesn't bless me because I do so many good things. God blesses me because He's a good God. So we are identified. That's why all these songs, and that's why the revelation of God's affection for you must be a part of your identity. Because faith blossoms in the atmosphere of love. And when you know God loves you, it's not hard to believe the great things He says to you. Someone shout favor. Behold, John said it like this. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God, the children of God. God loves you. You're already in favor. Come on, God loves the whole world. If you're saved, you're living in the love God has for the whole world. You're living in the grace God has for all mankind. You're living in favor. Favor is not something you have to beg for. It's just something you have to believe you already have. I'm highly favored. Come on, I'm highly favored. Hannah, her name meant favor. Her name meant grace. Romans 5:17 says this, for if by one man's offense, that's Adam, sin reigned, death reigned through that offense, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. So what happens is, today when I woke up, no matter what this day requires of me, God has prepared more of His sustaining capacity than my day requires. His mercies are new every morning. So grace always wins. Where there is sin abounding, grace much more abounds. Grace always wins. There's always more healing than disease. There's always more forgiveness than sin. There's always more life than death. In the kingdom of God, we have more of everything. We have an endless supply, inexhaustible supply of God's virtues, graces, blessings, and promises. And God's, that grace is yours. And the gift of righteousness is when I think right, believe right, and speak right, when my identity coincides, when my identity aligns with who God says I am. I am who God says I am. And so identity. So every day people would say, Hannah, and they were saying grace and grace and grace and favor, favor. So what happens, the closer you come to God and the more your heart is healed. You know your heart is healed when it starts to dream again. And Hannah has a dream that won't leave her. Elkanah's loving her. Papa God is frustrating her by telling her there's more. Anybody here feel like there's more for you? Anybody here like feel like there's breakthroughs in your family and in your life, your marriage, your future, your ministry, your life, whatever it is? There's stuff God wants to do. And so she has inside of her a divine contentment, a holy frustration born by the promise of unfulfilled destiny. Romans 8 says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that did not spare His Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with His Son also freely give us all things? Amen. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. So God's cementing, God's pouring into you. Every worship song, this whole revelation of the Father's love, the Father's heart is creating inside of us the awakening of destiny, the awakening of a radical belief that we're here to make a difference for God. You're highly favored. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're highly favored. Okay? The second thing is this. You know you're a double portion believer When the enemy assigns people to dedicate their life's efforts to provoke, discourage, and offend you. So, you know, you're at the place, the family, the job, the school, whatever it is, and you become a target when there's people that should be targets because of their obvious dysfunctional behavior. But here you are worshiping God, believing God, and people are picking on you. You're the focus. Now you have to get this. The enemy will always try to provoke you to the point of discouragement to make you let go of the promise that's in you because he's afraid of your promise. The battle you're in right now isn't about right now. It's about what God's going to do tomorrow. And if you can make it through right now into tomorrow, you'll see the fulfillment of God's promise in your life. So anybody here going through some unusual stuff? So that's, see, every time the devil says something through someone, it's a prophesy. It's a prophecy of destiny. Every time the devil says, that's never going to happen, God says, oh, I can't wait to make that happen. Every time you tell some people say, well, that's never, you're never going to get married. You're never going to fulfill destiny. I don't see that ever. Keep talking. God's listening. You're provoking not just my heart. You're provoking my papa. He's going to defend me. He's going to vindicate me. He's going to help me. He's going to release promise to me. Point number three, in the heart of every believer is a desperate cry to fulfill their God-given destiny and purpose. Now, this is big because it's not just about getting saved. God brought Israel out of Egypt by a mighty hand, by 10 signs and wonders, by the Passover, by a great destruction of the Egyptian army. And then God said to him, I brought you out so I could bring you in. The kingdom of God's calling you. God's Spirit's drawing you into a life of kingdom, fruitfulness, and breakthrough, and blessing, and purpose, and destiny. And the closer you get to God, the more love you receive from God, the more your heart hears his heart, and the more you hear his heart, you understand he's put some things in his heart for you to do. And when you adopt those things, get those things, and fulfill those things, you fulfill your mission on this earth for what God made you to do. Second Kings chapter 9, the end of the walking, the journey between Elijah and his prodigy, Elisha. And Elijah finally says, okay, I'm about to leave. What do you want? And Elijah, without any kind of delay, says, I already know what I want. I want twice as much as what you got. Come on, God wants you to pray prayers that offend all the religious people in your world. That, I just don't know if that's the right thing to ask for. Why are you asking such a big thing? I can't help it. It's in me. So Elijah did 8 miracles. Elijah did 16 miracles. He had a double portion anointing. I want double. Everybody say double. Now here's what God says. The last generation is a double portion generation. It's not normal. It's not going to be normal, the stuff that starts happening for the church. It's not going to be normal, the stuff starts happening in your world, your life, your journey, your faith. It's not going to be normal. There's a double portion on it. There's a special touch in it. There's a heavenly inheritance prepared for you. You're walking into something that God's already assigned. You see, he's already put it in this time in history. We're just walking into what he's already promised, what he's already prepared, what he's already given us as his children. Point number four, double for all your trouble. If you've been through double portion trouble, God is about to give you double portion restoration and breakthrough. Zechariah 9:12 says, return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today, I declare, said the Lord, that I will restore double to you. Someone shout double. Just say, thank you, Lord, for double. Job 42:10, the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. Someone shout double. Look at your neighbor and say, there's double in your future. Isaiah 61:7, instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Notice, God says, in the very area where your life was hit the deepest, the most severely, the most hurtful, with shame, I'm going to give you the antithesis, the opposite of that, honor, double honor. And instead of confusion, they will rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. So Hannah breaks through. In Jesus' name, every person that's here or listening in the future, watching by live stream, I loosen a double portion spirit to you, an understanding of what's already yours in Christ, and I loosen a breakthrough from the spirit of barrenness, from the spirit of fruitlessness. I command the drought to, and I loosen a season that pulls you into the fulfillment of God's promise in your life. So Hannah breaks through. And Samuel's born. Now listen to me. Samuel is called by God, go find a boy. He goes to the house, Jesse's house. He comes to Jesse's house. He said, God sent me here to anoint the next king of Israel. And Jesse brings his 7 adult sons, Eliab and Shammah. They go down by age, and Samuel stands in front of them all, but the inspiration of God, the oil won't flow for any of them. And Samuel's confused. He says, I know I'm in the right place, but I can't find the right person. And Jesse says, oh, I forgot about my little hippie boy, my little shepherd. He writes poetry. He sings songs. He's a creative type. He's got long hair. He's my little midlife crisis. And so they bring David. When David comes in, the oil bubbles up. And God said, anoint him. And Samuel the prophet anoints a rejected, mistreated little shepherd boy to be king. And if Samuel had never been born, David would have never been king. And if David would have never been king, the kingdom would not have expanded. A man named Solomon, the son of David, would have never been born. A great-great-grandson named Joseph, who raised his son named Jesus. Chain reaction, what does that mean? Your breakthrough isn't just for you. Come on, it's not just for you. Someday you'll meet somebody in your future. Someday in your future, you'll meet somebody who will tell you, thank you for not giving up today. Because the thing that's about to break through in your life today is going to have a great consequence to them. Thank God for those who didn't give up. And we're living in the inherited double portion blessing of all they've done for this world and kingdom and our families in the kingdom. Thank God for all of that. Thank God for the change. I need you guys to get this. So I'll have some people. I need a woman. Come help me. Any woman? Thank you. Perfect. So Samantha's going to be Hannah. And then I need a man. Okay. Sam, this is perfect. So Hannah's crying out to God. And God gives her Samuel. Come here, Samuel. And obviously a biracial marriage, it's no big deal. So listen. Then God finds a boy. Yeah, I need a boy. A young man. Okay. So okay. Then Samuel finds David. All because one woman said, Hannah ended up having 5 children, the number of greats. But one woman said, I refuse to not give birth to what God has put in my heart to do. And her faith brought a prophet into the world named Samuel. And Samuel anointed a confused and mistreated boy who his brothers judged him and belittled him, and his father did not value him. But God said, I don't care what anyone says, I'm anointing you to be king. And he had a son. So I need a man to come, a man. Any man. Thank you, Sergio. So David had a son named Solomon. Everybody say chain reaction. Solomon had a great, 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 great grandson named Joseph. Needed another man. Sorry, ladies, it's just the way it's working. There's Joseph, father of Jesus, the man who raised Jesus. There's no Joseph without Solomon. There's no Solomon without David. There's no David without Samuel. There's no Samuel without one woman saying, I will not miss. So, I don't know if there's a, I don't know if my son-in-law's here, Matthew Sheffy. He's not here. Then I need Jesus. So, Matthew, you want to help me? I hate to pick on you, but that's the way it is. So, here's Jesus at the end. So, now get this. Everybody here, just join hands together across there in the right order there. Everybody say chain reaction. See, there's someone, maybe you'll never see. Maybe you won't live long enough to see. But there's someone in your future that their whole life will be changed by the breakthrough you're having today. And there's things God wants to do down here. And so I just want to tell you, don't stop believing God. Don't stop praying. Don't stop standing in faith. Because you're going to give birth by prayer to that thing, and you're going to have your Samuel. You're going to see when God births something, when breakthroughs come, everything in the world of breakthrough is anointed with God's favor. When you have a miracle breakthrough, your whole world gets anointed with the new aroma of heaven, a new atmosphere of possibilities. And what God does for you, we can do for anybody. And then Davids are found. People that would never know who they are going to find their destiny because of your breakthrough. Ultimately, the finality of God's purpose will be accomplished. Turn to someone and say, chain reaction. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Come on, I'm all done, but I want you to get this. In Jesus' name, I declare over you that God says, don't let go. Don't stop believing. Don't stop contending. Don't let the devil steal by discouragement what God's revealed by promise. If it's in your heart, it's because it's in God's heart. If you feel like it's supposed to happen, and in spite of everything that's went wrong, it won't leave you, God says, don't give up on it. It's never too late for your breakthrough. It's never too late for restoration. It's never too late for fulfilled promise. God doesn't have a chronological chart where he says, oh, it's too late for you. But at 99 to 89, Abraham and Sarah gave birth to a miracle son named Isaac. It's never too late for God. It's never too late for you. No matter what's happening in your world, no matter what your circumstances look like, don't give up. You keep pressing on. I prophesy that a bunch of you are right on the verge of breakthrough, and you've been provoked by the enemy who's been trying to discourage you, who's been trying to anger you or offend you. But the devil's a liar. God's promise to you is true. You're going to see God do it. It's about to happen in your life. Don't quit now. Come on, stand your feet and give God a praise. Thank you, God. Do this just as, if you wouldn't mind doing this, just as a prophetic action. Would you wouldn't mind just grabbing hands with the people in your row and say this out loud, say chain reaction. So I want you to see this, because you're both going to experience the blessing of other people's breakthroughs and be the instrument of other people's breakthroughs by your breakthrough. And I pray that even in this moment, come on, just begin to pray for the hand you're touching. The purpose of God in that person's life, the promise of God over them and their family. God, you're so good. You're so faithful. We just declare your kingdom come, your will be done in the life of every man and woman here today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for doing something massive in this next season. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer team, would you please join me down front? Come on, lift your hands to heaven, everybody. Lift your hands to heaven and worship the Lord. Come on, he's never going to let me down. He's never going to let you down. He's never going to fail you. He's never going to disappoint you. Give him a chance. Thank you, God. As we close the service today, a couple of things. Not an accident you're here. God has had an appointment with you today to encourage you, to strengthen you, to help you, to release destiny and purpose to you. But if you've never known a relationship with God through Jesus, if you've never known the joy of forgiving of your sins being forgiven, the Bible says, just like that song, whoever calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. And God wants you to know his love and his grace through Jesus Christ. If you've never received Jesus as Savior and have received the forgiveness of sins as a free gift, today we want to pray for you. Or if you've been away from God for whatever reason, all service long there's been anointing for physical healings. If you need physical healing, we want to pray for you. But if you say, Pastor, I'm just going through a horrific storm. There are a bunch of people here today that the enemy has been being, the intensity of the enemy's provocation has increased and escalated so much that you've wondered what's going on, and God's telling you today, here's what's going on, your breakthrough is about to happen. But if you want prayer, say, Pastor, I need prayer today for what's happening in my world. Come and let us pray. For anyone wanting prayer, you are good. Good. love you. You're an awesome church. Don't forget tonight's service at 6, prophetic night. It'll be awesome. Stay here as long as you want. We'll be worshiping and praying until everyone's satisfied. Have an awesome week. God bless you. Tell someone Jesus loves them.